In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We do this broadcast live, and we look again at the last part of chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount of St. Matthew. "Anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on rock. The rainy season set in, the torrents came, the winds blew and buffeted the house. It didn't collapse. It had been solidly set on rock. And anyone who hears my words but does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sandy ground." You know what's going to happen. "The rains fell, the torrents came, the winds blew and lashed against the house, and it collapsed under this and was completely ruined." Jesus finished this discourse and left the crowd spellbound by his teaching. The reason was that he taught with authority and not like their scribes. So he says to build the house. We want to build our house, first of all, on Jesus Christ. A house built on Jesus is a house that is built on solid rock. A house built on Jesus is a house built on solid rock. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." St. Paul says that he laid one foundation, and the foundation was Jesus Christ. We want to build our life on Jesus Christ, on his cross, on his burial, on his resurrection, on the ascension, on the coming of the Spirit. But also, we need to build a house the way Jesus talked about living. And therefore, we're going to take part of the Sermon on the Mount, which would be how we need to live. This is how we need to live. Okay, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are in absolute need of God. Okay, let's look at prayer. "When you are praying, do not behave like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues or street corners in order to be noticed. I give you this word, they've been repaid already. When you pray, close the door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." Okay? So he talks about prayer. Then he talks about fasting. Now, I know this is a very difficult thing for us in America, and it tells us when you fast. It doesn't say if you fast. So I am talking to myself, if not to you. When you fast, you are not to look glum as the hypocrites do. They change the appearance of their faces so that others will see them fasting. I assure you they're already repaid. When you fast, groom your hair and wash your face. I'm going to tell you, we were just hearing from a book called He Leadeth Me. And this priest was in a concentration camp, a prison camp, for years and years and years. And it happened during the time when the Eucharist was celebrated and you needed to fast from 12 o'clock in the evening until you received. They were celebrating the Eucharist. They were celebrating Mass in the concentration camps. Listen. They were celebrating in private and in secret. And they kept the fast, which means they missed breakfast. And I'm sure the breakfast wasn't very good. But then they were in the work camps. They would receive Jesus fasting from 12 o'clock until they received Jesus. Then there was no more meal, probably until the dinner time. My Lord, we have an hour fast, and how many keep it? When you fast. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes just a little fasting will just do what needs to be done. A little fasting will do what needs to be done. And I'm going to tell you, it's difficult. But let me tell you the secret about fasting. If you want to learn how to fast, you get on your knees the night before you fast, and you tell the Lord, "Lord, tomorrow's going to be a fast day for me. And you've got to make it easy for me because I'm a wimp. You've got to make it easy for me because I'm a wimp. And that next day, you get on your knees and say, Lord, I asked you last night. Today is a fast day. Just make it easy for me because I'm a wimp. And you know what? We are wimps. I'm a wimp. Then it says, do not lay up for yourselves earthly treasures where moths and rust corrode, where thieves break in and steal. Make it your practice instead to store up heavenly treasure, which neither moth can corrode or rust, or thieves break in. Remember, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. That's why the practice of tithing, of giving the first tenth to the Lord, plus offerings, shows us that our treasure is not where our money is. You say, I cannot tithe. I don't have enough money. You know what I say? I cannot afford not to tithe, because tithing looses the riches of heaven, which is greater than money. But, you know, you do what you need to do. I certainly can't force you to do these things, because that's just the way it is. I can tell you, but I can't force you. Let me tell you, I told you last week about the Holy Rosary. We care for the poor, and we spend a lot of money for the poor. I do not think we've been tithing lately. So I made out a $500 check for a missionary from the Holy Rosary. And I'm going to tell you, I've got it back three times or four times already. So I'm going to make out another $500 check to a missionary from the Holy Rosary. And let God do what he needs to do. Whether he makes that multiply or not, that's none of my business. My business is to make out the check and to send it to a missionary. That's my business. And it's God's business to multiply it or not multiply it as he seems or as he deems necessary. The eye is the body's lamp. If your eyes are good, your body will be filled with light. You know, there are commercials on television that we do not need to be watching. Some of them are very risque. Some of them are triple R. There are commercials on television. You know, the commercials are worse than anything. They are not selling perfume, I'm telling you. They're selling bodies. They're selling bodies. There are things that we do not need to be watching. Okay. Then I tell you, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate one or love the other, or be attentive to one and despise the other. You cannot give yourself to God and money. Now again, here's this thing about money. What do you do with your money? You say, I don't have enough. That's because you're not giving away enough. It's just like that. Money is seed. Money is seed. And the Bible talks more about money than it talks about heaven. Please, learn how to be generous. Learn how to give. Learn what it means to give and to give hysterically. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Let me just tell you this. There was a priest that was teaching the young children about purity. And he said, I'm going to teach you all about purity and about continence and about things like that. And they said, how are you going to teach us that? Because we're tempted on every level. And the priest said, I'm going to tell you how. Start giving 10% of your allowance to the poor. Because if you can do that, the Lord will help you with your purity. Ah. You see, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And money is very important. We can't do without it. But you see, what we do with our money is very important. I was watching just last night a movie. It was all about President Nixon. And they mentioned Charles Colson. Mr. Colson went to jail, and it was in jail where Mr. Colson was converted. It was in jail that he came to know Jesus Christ. It was in jail that his whole life changed. Even on this station, we hear about Charles Colson, how he collects money for people who are in prison, for the children of people who are in prison, so that they can have gifts from their dad or their mom who's in jail. Charles Colson didn't allow his jail sentence to destroy him. Charles Colson was converted by the gift of the Spirit of God, and still today he does the work of God. He wrote that book, Born Again, and he has lived a good Christian life. He could have been destroyed in that jail. He could have been destroyed in that jail. He did wrong. But you know what? The Lord used that wrong to bring glory out of a jail sentence. And glory still comes because he follows Jesus. Then it tells us, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than the birds? Come on now. Are you not more important than the birds? I look out here and you see the seagulls. These seagulls know where the fish are. They go exactly where the fish happen to be. But not only seagulls, there are pigeons. You know, some people hate pigeons. I don't hate them. God knows how to care for the birds of the air. And he knows when one bird falls to the ground dead. Are you not more important than a flock of birds? Then why do you worry? Why do you worry? It's Advent and I'm not going to be able to get my children everything. That's not a bad thing. Give them yourself. Take them someplace where they're going to experience love and kindness and joy. Listen to this. Ron and Barbara, two of our people, they every Saturday go to Boston to feed the poor. They brought their grandchildren a couple of weeks ago. The grandchildren love it. Can we come back next week? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that these children are feeding the poor, are seeing that there's something greater than buying a brand new toy? Isn't it wonderful that they're seeing that there are people that are needy, that we're caring for, that we're praying with, that we're feeding? Isn't that wonderful? Is that greater than a toy that they use for 3 days and then they put in the corner and they don't use it anymore? But every week they say, Grandpa, Grandma, can we come back next week? We want to come back. We love this. This is a value you're teaching children that's much greater than anything you can get from Toys R Us. And Toys R Us are having a big sale this week. This is a value that only God can give. Can we come back next week and help feed the poor? I tell you, our values are all crazy. So you can't give your children what you wanted to give your children this year. You know what? Why don't you come to the Holy Rosary on a Saturday morning, bring some kids to make sandwiches, and then go out and feed the poor? Why don't you do a thing like that?
you'll be giving your children something much greater than a new toy. You'll be showing your children that, you know what, for Christmas, it's better to give than it is to receive. But you know what? Who's going to take the time? Because time is worth more than money. Who's going to take the time to spend 3 hours with the poor? Because time is worth more than money. Oh, yes, money comes and money goes. But who's going to spend the time doing what they need to do? Well, thank God for Ron and Barbara. And thank God that their grandchildren are so enthused about this. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is something that only God can teach from within. Can we come back next week? Of course. Which of you by worrying can add a moment to your lifespan? This week when we prayed for the sick, one lady said to me, Father Tom, I'm not sleeping. So I said to her, is your bedroom upstairs? She said, yes. I said, are you thinking about a lot of things when you go to bed? She said, yes. I said, well, of course you can't sleep if you're thinking about a lot of things. I said, I have the solution. And she's looking at me, you know. She's telling me she can't sleep. And then another lady says, I want to hear what he's got to say because I can't sleep at night either. You know, people's bills and everything, you know. I said, this is what you do. I try to make it so simple, okay, because I'm simple. I said, when you're downstairs, you write all the things that are bothering you, all the things you're worrying about. You put it on a piece of paper, and then you put a crucifix over it. You've already dealt with this stuff by writing it down. You've written it down. You place a crucifix on it. The Word of God says, he who guards Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. You go upstairs and go to bed and sleep. Let the Lord worry about these things. Because by worrying, can you add a moment to your lifespan? No. But you see, it's good psychology too, because you're writing it down. These are the things that are bothering me. This is real. Then you take a crucifix or a cross, if you're not Catholic, and you place the cross on this stuff. In other words, Lord, I'm going to bed. You handle it. And when I wake up, you show me how to handle things while I'm awake. You know, beds are for sleeping. They are not for solving problems. You solve your problems before you go to bed, or else you'll be up all night. Look at the flowers of the field, the way they grow. They do not work, and they do not spin. Yet I assure you, Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, if God so clothes the flowers of the field, will he not clothe you? You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. Please, as long as your clothes are clean. That's all you need to know. As long as your clothes are clean. What are you going to wear? Like, what am I going to wear? Well, I'm in basic black, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm going to wear. And even when I don't wear black, you know, I'm not worried about what I'm going to wear. You know, who's going to be looking at me anyway? You know, the world's not all about me. Have you learned that one yet? It's not all about you. Not all about me. Long as your clothes are clean and you're clean, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. You know, wearing all these things, worrying about what you are to wear or what you are to eat or what you are to drink. The pagans worry about those things. You're more important. That doesn't mean you don't settle those things. Of course, you've got to cook for tonight. You've got to have things, but you don't worry about it. You know, people have been telling me, you know, my children are going hungry. People don't know how to shop anymore. You don't need to go hungry. You'd buy pasta. And you make pasta with tomato sauce and garlic. You can let that stretch, and it doesn't cost almost, it costs almost nothing. Or pasta with butter and a little hot water. Or pasta with garlic and oil. We can't be eating pasta all the time. I'm going to tell you, maybe you can't be, but if that's all you can afford, you can fill your tummies up with it, and no one will go hungry. No one will go hungry. Or beans. You soak your beans and let them stay overnight. And you make chili. More beans than meat. But you see, we've not been taught how to economize. As I've often said, my mother could balance the budget. And we ate well. But we bought things that were on sale. My mother would buy things that were on sale. I walk into these grocery stores and see that Pastine tomatoes are $1.59 for one can. My mother would turn over in her grave. $1.59. When the sale was two for a dollar, she'd buy 48 cans. So that she'd have it. Because she knew what it was to know want. We don't know want until now. So we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to deal with it. So you can't have steak. That's okay. You can have pasta. But the kids get sick of it. But you know what? When you're hungry, it's good. When you're hungry, it's good. When you're hungry, it's good. You know, my mother always taught me another thing. You buy what you can afford. If you cannot afford something, you leave it on the shelf. You don't make bills where you're paying 18% to the loan sharks, to Visa or MasterCard. She taught me this. Only in the last years of her life did she have a checkbook. Never a plastic card. She would say, "Why do you use that plastic?" And I would tell her, "Because I get money back at the end of the year. That's the only plastic card I'll use. The one that will give me money back. I pay my bill by the grace of God every month. So I don't have to think about giving money to the loan sharks. So I can give more away. Isn't that a wonderful thing, huh? Isn't that a wonderful thing? So I can give more away. Listen, don't worry. It won't do you any good. Learn to be generous. Build your house upon Jesus Christ. Build your life upon Him and upon Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Because you'll be like the house that when the rains come, and they will come, and the winds blow, and they will blow, your house will be sturdy because it's built on solid ground. His name is Jesus. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. And this is Father Tom, and the mailing address is very simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Going to say it again. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. People in Albuquerque, where are you? People in St. Louis, where are you? People in Michigan, where are you? People in Hartford, Connecticut, in the western part of Mass, where are you? People in Washington, D.C., Arizona, where are you? Listen. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And as I said in WEZE, the weather is beautiful today. It's 60 degrees in Boston. And Jimmy the Roofer is roofing. And his telephone number is simple, 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. Give him a call, 617-519-0341. He also paints and does other things, 617-519-0341. Don't worry. Don't worry. He cares more about you than the birds of the air. Don't worry. Don't worry. He'll clothe you more beautifully than the flowers of the field. Don't worry. Don't worry. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Be generous. Learn how to be generous, even when you don't have much. Learn how to give, because the law of giving is the law of God. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.